Yo, what's good, y'all? Welcome to the John Cat Show, episode number 19. It's been a minute. It's been about a month, I think, since I've been on here. I apologize for the long hiatus. I had a lot going on. I moved. Biggest change of all, we moved to a new place here. Got a little place right up the road from where I was living. And I'm still in Deerfield Beach down in Florida. Don't come find me. I'm not in Deerfield Beach. I made that up. Similar looking room. I got the blue curtain. The flag's like a wood for those of you listening. You have no idea. I was just leaning over so they could see it. It's like a wood flag now, handmade, woodcrafted. I don't know what the fuck you call it, instead of a big colorful one. It's a little more subtle. I don't want to scare people away. My shirt might scare people away this episode. Anyway, it's the new digs. The new spot. So I'm gonna be coming back regular episodes. I'm gonna be doing a food review right after this, and then definitely some more of these regular pod rants and getting some more interviews going. And I really appreciate y'all, and appreciate anybody listening to this. I will be back doing at least a few of these a week again. Thank you for sticking with it, and appreciate each and every one of you. I want to talk about the election. The election. I hope you all aren't election out. I think I have some unique perspective, some unique thoughts I'd like to share. Maybe. We'll see. Obviously, it's on everybody's mind. It's Sunday. The election's Tuesday. People are already voting. I already voted. I think like the turnout this year now already is almost the full turnout from the last election. That's just early voters, the mail-in ballots. And the early in-person voting. Everybody's saying it's the biggest election of your life. It might be. I think, you know, maybe it depends how old you are, but it's for sure feels like the biggest election of my lifetime. Just so y'all know where I'm coming from. And anyone listening to this that knows me will back me up on this. Call me out if I'm full of shit, which I am not. I'm the only one I know that never wavered that Trump was going to win from, and I don't just mean from a standpoint of wanting him to win. I mean, when he announced he was going to run in 2015, I said, done, he'll be president. And people looked at me like it was crazy. I said, no, Donald Trump's going to be the president, and it's not even be that close. I was actually surprised how close it was. I'll get into some of why it ended up being that close, I think, but everyone that knows me, I wouldn't shut up about it. So shout out anyone I worked with at that time, my friends, my family, they all know, never wavered for one minute that the man was going to be president before the primary started, before any of that. And just so y'all know, I'm 10 times more confident now about him winning again. I mean, we'll get into that in a minute, but you know, he'll win for the same reason he won last time. I win for the same reason I knew he would win. And you know, these basic fundamentals of winning elections or winning any type of, you know, popularity contest or any type of election, not just a presidential election. These basic fundamentals don't change. And he's got that in spades in a way that people haven't even done it in our lifetimes. And I haven't seen it personally. I think it happened maybe JFK and some people like that. The reason I called it in 2015, the reason it was so obvious, I'd been saying for many, many, many years, way before I ever thought about Trump running, and this is still true for both sides, but I always said, look, if you get a guy or a girl, get a candidate that just speaks in normal tones, right? And forget even normal tones. That's stripping it down too basic, right? It's authenticity. And authenticity doesn't mean honesty. It means being the person that you are, being a real person, displaying an authentic personality. You know, something I always say about Trump, when you see him in public, whether you like his personality or not, whether you think he's brash or not, when you see him in public and when you see him talk and you see him in these rallies, you see him in the interviews and the debates, that's how he talks. That's who he is. If you got hidden footage, which we have, by the way. And he was also on TV for 20 years. But if there was footage of him having dinner with his family or whatever, he would look and sound exactly how he looks and sounds when we see him. But Obama wouldn't. Biden wouldn't. I have no idea what Barack Obama acts like and sounds like and looks like in real life. We only have his manufactured public political cadence. I mean, does he sit around at dinner with his family going like, you know, you please pass me the potatoes and the broccoli? You know, that's the worst though. I'm not an impersonator. But there's no way he talks like that in real life. That's not a natural human way of interacting. It's political speak. I'm sure Biden doesn't just scream his head off. Well, he probably does. But again, he's going, you know, would you pass me the print? You know, well, that's how he talks now. And he didn't use that's a whole other story. But the point is, you name the guy or girl, if they come in and go, you know what? A, the message goes along with the authenticity, which is this is all bullshit. So if you got an outsider, one, that's not part of the political system, they come in, they speak a real way, they're funny, they're charismatic, they're self-dead. People always try to say Trump's all angry and melting down and all this stuff. Every time you see him, the guy's cool, calm, funny. Biden screams his head off at people. Every time I see Trump, he's just talking like a normal guy. He's going, oh, yeah, yeah, imagine losing this guy. Like, he's talking like a normal person. Say what you want. It's not political speak, and he's certainly not angry and unhinged. The other guy looks angry and unhinged. I mean, there's a sharp contrast. You see those two side by side. It's crazy. But authenticity had never, on a real level, I'd never seen it. Not on a presidential level. No way. True authenticity. Like, this is just who I am. And I don't have a memorized way of speaking. And then also, by the way, and this is an interesting thing, you know, people talk about Trump's character all the time, right? They talk about the man's, you know, moral compass and, you know, the type of person that he is. You know, it's actually their biggest argument. They can't do anything about policy. He's killed it in policy. Whether you agree with his policies or not, that's another question, right? So if you're on the left, you probably don't agree with a lot of his policies. But he's gotten so much done for people on the right. There's a reason that never Trump righty crowd that was so big in 16, it's like four people now. And it's like Mitt Romney and two other dudes. They like what he's done. He's done historically. I'm going to talk about some of that, but he's done so much. So they can't talk about what he's done. So they got to talk about the type of person that he is and the coronavirus. That's it. I said it recently. If not for Corona, the Dems wouldn't even have a platform. If I was a Dem, I'd have no idea what I was voting for other than Trump is the worst and Corona sucks and tax the rich. That's it, man. Tax the rich. That's all they got. Anyway, so my point is this. Look at Trump's family. Look at his kids. How many successful, ultra successful men, millionaires, billionaires, with that personality have five amazingly well-adjusted, well-educated, hard-ass working kids that not only all went to like Ivy League schools and also have great kids themselves, but they all chose to, like, before politics, they all chose to work with their dad their whole lives. I mean, other than maybe, what, Tiffany, she's young. I don't know what she's going to end up doing. Ivanka, Don Jr., Eric, they all went to, like, top-notch schools, Ivy League or Georgetown, I think. A mixture. And they all love the dude. And they literally choose to work at the office. How many people want to work with their dad every day? they say you can measure a man by his kids a lot. So it says something. I don't want to rag on other people's kids, but compare it to other politicians that you know or other ultra successful people that you know. It says something about the man's character, doesn't it? You'd think out of the five, he'd have like one degenerate kid that completely hated him, right? But all right, so back to the election. I'm 10 times more positive now that the man is going to be a blowout. I'm very much, I like that people in my life that I know text me because they know how confident I am in Trump's way. And I like that they still text me and go like, hey man, feeling pretty, you still feeling confident, you know, or, you know, that I could flip on any channel anytime and just see people on the left like gleefully gloating how they're up 49 points in every state. It's the best. Cause if they really saw what was going on, it wouldn't be as fun, right? They had a Trump win in 16. They talk about the hidden Trump vote. What does that mean? The hidden vote. I got called for a poll the other day. I actually never have been polled before. I got called by the New York Times Siena College poll. And it's interesting. It is as short a voter as I am. And when I'm listening to these people, and the only political question they asked me, by the way, the only opinion question they asked me was, to what extent do I worry about rising sea levels due to climate change in my lifetime or in the next 50 years or something? So like you're only asking me that question. So it's, you're already going like, all right, I'm talking to, first of all, I know who I'm talking to. So any informed voter goes, okay, I'm speaking to one of the most left-leaning publications there is. They have my name. They have my address. They want all my personal information. People are already weary of big tech, people having their info and then knowing they're a Trump voter. You know, if you go outside in a MAGA hat, you just go to the store. Let's say I just went to the grocery store in a MAGA hat. Probably like a 70% chance I'm going to get verbally assaulted and probably about a 30% chance I'm going to get physically assaulted. That's a fact. And depending on your area, right? I live in a very diverse area. So some lunatic on the left bound to like freak out about it, right? Imagine that the other way. Imagine someone getting like assaulted because someone knew they were like some Republican going, hey, Democrat, like, come on. And again, like I say, so you turn on any channel and it's for the last, so you think the hidden vote was bad 4 years ago. Well, now it's been 4 years of Trump's the devil 24/7. And if you post on Twitter or you post on Facebook, you get chastised by your friends. You can get in trouble with your job. People lose jobs for publicly. Showing support for certain candidates, for Trump or for people on the right. And then they get ostracized and you know, their friends and their family and they get very emotional. And so you look at some poll, the CNN, you know, CNN poll of polls. If CNN calls your house, I promise you, I know the, I would listen. I would, it's really bizarre, man. Like, I feel like most of the Trump voters I know, if CNN called them, would go like, yeah, Trump. And they go like, I'm voting for Trump, you know, or they wouldn't say it to a stranger. It's like, they just don't want to hear that fucking bullshit. Right. So what do we know about this election that's coming up in 2 days or that's happening right now? Here, and more importantly, what's happening right now, here's what we do know. We know that tens of millions of people are already voting that did not vote in 16. And actually, I believe if I read it correctly or heard it correctly, I believe they've already had like 11 million people as of, and this is as of a day or so ago. So tens of millions of people who are voting for the first time. That means a few things. One, it means you're not, those people don't show up on any poll. If you have not voted before, you're not getting polled. And if you get polled, you're not, you know, every poll is, they parenthesize the asterisk, says likely voters. If you never voted before, you're not a likely voter. You know, and I this is what I was talking about. There's so many fundamentals to winning elections. But here's the thing. Enthusiasm wins every election that ever took place. Turnout wins every election that ever took place. There's all in a presidential election, half the people that are eligible to vote don't vote. You got like 100 million people every election who are able to vote and don't vote. So you can, any candidate at any time can tap into that. They can tap into that pool and win any election. It's not about converting Republicans to Democrats and Democrats to Republicans. Sure, there's some of that. But, well, that's how it's mostly been, right? But Trump said, fuck that. I'm going to take all these people that don't normally even vote, and I'm going to give them a reason or reasons to vote for me. And by the way, that's the biggest point to drive home, and it's been the most frustrating thing for me to listen to this entire election, which is this. I've never seen a campaign in history. I'm talking about the Joe Biden campaign now. I have never seen a campaign in history that wasn't giving the people something to vote for. Something to vote for. You can't win an election simply based on voting against the other guy. And I realize that, you know, for a candidate running for a second term, that election's almost always going to be a referendum on their first term. Obviously, the guy coming in has got to attack the incumbent on their record. I get it. But to be well, that would actually be something. They're not even attacking him on his record. Their whole thing is straw men. They attack him on Corona. 98% of what they attack him on is Corona, and then the rest is made up bullshit. But they don't give you anything to vote for. And by the way, this shows in the polls. If you look at the polls, if you look at even the polls that have Biden up a gazillion points, they clearly say, those people who respond that they're voting for Joe, they clearly say, we are voting. It's like an, by the way, it's like an 80-20 ratio, and it reverses for Trump. And they clearly say, we are voting against Trump, not for Joe. So of the people that say we're voting for Joe, 80% of them say the reason we're voting for Joe is a vote against Trump. And to be honest, I think the other 20% is being kind. I never met a Joe Biden fan. And what policy? What are they like about the guy? What do they like about him? He's an old, angry, confused. Nobody can watch him in a debate, at a rally, at a whatever. The little he's come out of his freaking house. Nobody can watch this guy and think that he's anything and for anybody or offers. And it's do you like Trump or do you not like Trump? And then the opposite of all the people that say they're voting for Trump, it's like 80-20 that say this is a vote for Trump. And then like 20 say it's a vote against Biden. That's it, man. That's the whole ball game. Nobody ever has come close to winning an election with an enthusiasm gap like that. You can't. You're asking people to come out. You talk about these early ballots. The Dems are freaking out now. You watch all these Dems on TV. Now they're saying, you better come out and vote in person. They see what's going on. People are showing up. And these extra tens of millions of people that are showing up for the first time, if you think they're showing up for Joe because he's so exciting, or you think they hate Trump so much that they're coming out in droves, think about it. Think about it. Everywhere Trump shows up, 15,000 people show up with him, with their trucks and their banners and their flags waving. And you think that these extra 15 million people, I saw in Florida alone where I live, the amount of new registered voters, the Republicans have outpaced Dems in this state alone by like 100,000. If you just registered to vote, you're voting. That's 100,000. Florida hasn't had more than 100,000 gap in who knows how long. And then the only other stuff they attack them on, man, it's it's straw men. It's Russia. It's Ukraine. It's racism. It's fine people on both sides. It's losers and suckers. It's stuff he didn't even say. And they get into these stupid semantics arguments. First of all, the fine people on both sides. Can we address this for a second? How are they still allowed to say this? That line, for anyone that watched it, that's been debunked by the most left-leaning politico Snopes, you name it. Yet you turn on Don Lemon and they're talking about fine people on both sides. It's insane. Watch it. The whole, watch the clip. He literally says, I don't want to rehash the whole Charlottesville thing, but they were talking about it was the protests and whether they should be taking these statues down. And he was referring to fine people on both sides of the statue argument. And he literally said, there are fine people on both sides, and I am not talking. He's literally continued on and said, and I am not talking about white supremacists or white nationalists or whatever. Those people should be condemned. Yada, yada, yada. And by the way, I grew up in the South. There are good people that think we should preserve statues. This whole doesn't make you a white supremacist. It's insane. And they go, and that poor girl, Heather Heyer, lost her life to the hands of a white supremacist. It's a tragedy that girl died, but she was white too. Their best example of white supremacy is a white kid who never, by the way, even belonged to a white supremacy group, who got swarmed in his car and freaked out and gunned it and ran over some people, ran over and killed this poor girl. And it's horrible that that happened. But to call it an act of white supremacy, that's crazy. A white kid running a white girl over? Like, what group was he in, the KKK or something? And if there's so much white supremacy, where are all the acts of white supremacy violence? Are they in the news? Where's all the, where are the white supremacists? I mean, I'm glad. I'm really, really glad they don't exist. I'm not asking for them. Seems to be a very small group of people, almost non-existent as far as like violence goes. They got to go back to Heather Heyer as the last time a white supremacist, I mean, they call cops that all the time, but as far as civilians, who's the last white supremacist civilian death? I know. There's probably a bunch. And they do these stupid semantics arguments. You know, there's all this stuff going on with counting the votes after the election. And they all go, oh, Trump says we shouldn't be able to count votes after Election Day. We shouldn't be able to count votes after Election Day. That's crazy. That's not what he's saying. By the way, we always count votes after Election Day. And we should be able to, and Trump agreed. We shouldn't be counting votes received after Election Day. And it's so disingenuous to say that Republicans don't want votes counted received after Election Day because it's voter suppression. That's a fair playing field. Why would that affect Dems worse? And by the way, obviously the reason they say that is because they don't trust the Dems. They've seen so much shenanigans. They don't trust those guys that if they saw they were down, let's say 10,000 votes in Pennsylvania or 20,000 votes in Florida, that they wouldn't dump some fucking truck in 2 days later. You shouldn't be allowed to see a result on election day and then bring in pallets of more ballots. That's insane. Go here. Oh, he showed up 2 days later. You got to count these too. No. You can keep counting after election day the stuff you already received because it takes a long time to count. Obviously, we do it every election. It hits midnight. You're not done counting. You keep counting. A lot of states don't come until the next morning or whatever. I mean, some counties take a couple days. Always. Could be a really big shit show this year. I mean, they could be taking days and days. Count some of these because they've already gotten so many ballots. They're backed up and they haven't been able to start counting yet. So, you know, some of these counties report late. But why? The better question to ask is why does adding extra rules to a contest supposedly only adversely affect Dems? This is the part I don't understand. And Dems are completely open about it, too. That's the part that's even weirder. So they go, you can't have voter ID. That's racist, right? You can't make signatures match. That's voter suppression, man. You know, you can't make people show up in person. That's suppression. And I'm like, and maybe someone can answer this. Why is it racist? Why is it suppression? Why is it anti-Democrat? And why are they so in favor of having less rules? If you have a contest, the person that wants less rules in that contest, or the person that doesn't want the rules enforced in that contest because they want to cheat. If you go, hey, I want the ref to call holding penalties less, it's because you want to hold more. If you're in favor of not needing ID, it's because you want people to be able to vote who aren't who they say they are. If you're in favor of people allowing signatures not to match, then that's because you want people to be able to sign who isn't the real signature. It's not rocket science, but somehow they get away with it all by claiming this like victimization. It's a weird thing. You should have ID. You should have signatures matching. This is our elections we're talking about. If people thought they could win on merit, they would want the rules to be bulletproof. And the other reason that Trump's winning this thing in a landslide, by the way, he can win. He's going to win a lot more places. This is going to be a big wake up call for people. And by the way, it didn't even have to be this big of a landslide. Dems could have made this thing very competitive with a good candidate. Good ticket. This is good. He could only maybe lose 8-9 states. I'm not kidding. People don't like what they saw the last few. You know, you talk about Corona, and Corona sucks, right? Nobody wants illness. I'll get into some Corona stuff. This could be a long fucking episode. I might have to speed up the pace at which I'm talking. But listen. You know, during the springtime when all this civil unrest was happening, protests and stuff, nothing has hurt these guys more on the left than this negativity that they're pushing. People don't like that. If you want to know why people are coming out in droves, it's not because they're unhappy. Maybe they are. By the way, they might be unhappy with the way the coronavirus has been handled by Trump or by the administration. And I still don't think that that's paramount to in a lot of people's lives because they go, hey, look, Corona is gonna at some point soon be dealt with through vaccines and herd immunity and everything else. And then I've still got my life to worry about. And what do I stand for? And what do I want my country to stand for? And what do I want my kids to understand and to represent? How do I want my kids to feel about this country? These are much bigger questions than the temporary virus coming in. I've never, ever, ever, ever seen such a negative campaign. This Joe and Kamala. Excuse me, Kamala. First of all, I didn't even do it on purpose. And I wanted to talk about it. I didn't even remember. This whole thing with, is it Kamala or Kamala? And then I've been watching way more news than I usually do. I shouldn't even be watching the news. I've been watching way more stuff just to see what the hell is going on. I never watch who you think I watch. I watch the other guys. I want to know. I feel like I'm like spying on like a strategy meeting. Anyway, there's a lot of talk of how racist all the people are that say Kamala instead of Kamala. I was just saying the other day, I go, Obama should do that. He should say he's Kamala. No, first of all, I guarantee you that she was Kamala till she was like 38 or something. And then she's like, you know what? Let's make it Kamala. Secondly, no one knows how to pronounce a name that they've not seen or heard before. And it's way more natural to want to say it as Kamala. Does it make you racist? They were arguing the other day, like, no one says Jeb. No one mispronounced Jeb Bush's name when Trump was insulting him. He said Jeb's name right, and he says Joe's name right. It's like, what are you talking about? Trump is such a troll. Trump is doing a rally. He's doing a rally today. I think it was today or yesterday. And he was talking about that. He said she doesn't even... Said she doesn't even say her own name right. I don't know. Look. Republicans should actually be thanking Trump for eternity. For the foreseeable future. Because he really came in and changed the demo. Changed the demographic. Prior to him, I didn't think, and I've said to people, I didn't think Republicans are going to win a general for a while. I don't want to be a while. It felt like they were a little old, a little out of touch, a little stuffy. Man, the Republican Party has become the Trump Party. And he also does the type of things that actual conservatives like, you know, everybody's happy with that. He's, like I said, he's not a Republican. He's for sure a populist. But he's definitely more conservative than people thought he was. And he's more consistent with the conservative ideals. And he's keeping the old group together. And he brought in so many new people. And the craziest part, man, the craziest part is through all of this, he's gained tons with the he has gained tons with Black people and Latino people. And it's incredible because they've called the guy a racist, white supremacist every day for 4 years. And he's doubled, if not probably tripled, his support. That's going to be the most interesting thing for me. I saw a poll the other day. They were showing him at 32% with Black voters. 32%. I think he got 8% 4 years ago. And the Latino votes doubled or tripled as well. I'm telling you. By the way, Florida, where I live, blowout. I'm calling it. Florida is going to be the biggest gap it's been since, I don't know. Maybe Bill Clinton or something. I don't know. What did Bill Clinton win it by? Either way, Florida's going to be a blowout. I have to take a look at that. Florida's not going to be close. I'm telling you. This is going to be the biggest gap in many, many elections. And I don't think a lot of these states are going to be close. And like I said, I'm going to win Nevada, probably flip Minnesota. This dude outworks everybody. Have y'all listen? There couldn't be a more stark contrast when you see these two guys on the trail, when you watch the debate, when you see them side by side. Man, 73 years old. He has 10 million times more energy than me. This dude's doing 5 rallies a day in 5 states. He's flying all. He doesn't even look tired. Joe looks like he is gone, man. And he does like 10 minutes. Trump's doing like an hour and a half, like 4 places a day. He is outworking his opponent. He's a worker. He's a worker. People, it's the Michael Jordan mentality. It's the Tiger Woods mentality. He's outworking people. They're knocking on doors. He's going and having huge rallies. There's a reason he's gained, and the reason he gained these voters, black voters and Latino voters, they're actually talking to these people and offering something. Biden and them are just going, you should vote for us because we're Democrats. And people are starting to catch on and go, wait a minute, but why? What are you offering us? The crazy, crazy part, the ironic part, Dems are admitting that they've lost a lot of the votes with black and Latino. Do they say Latino or Hispanic? Is it the Hispanic community? Is it the same thing? Is there a difference? Someone correct me. Okay. Dems are now getting on TV bragging about how, well, yes, but this is their key. He's made it up with older white people and college educated white people. Oh, okay. So let me get this straight. Biden and the Dems have been campaigning for all year and for 4 years, basically, on how Trump is racist and how Trump doesn't want to help any black or Hispanic or Latino or Asian or anyone else, and that they're the party for the minorities. And that's their whole argument. It's Corona and it's minorities, as they call it. They say minorities. Weird term. And while that's happening, they've gained, according to them, they've gained with old white people and college educated white people, but they've lost like double the support in the wrong direction with the communities they were targeting, trying to get support from. Do you think they have an authenticity problem? Do you think maybe people are going, wait a minute, they've been telling us this shit for like 40 years, you know? And you got high profile Lil Wayne and 50 Cent and these guys, and they're looking, they're going, hey, Trump has this platinum plan to like let people actually work, own stuff and build stuff. It's like, it's a real plan. And then they're all just such bullies on the left. You know, they're so bad at doing this that they managed to turn Trump into like a sympathetic figure. You know what I mean? They managed to take a guy like Donald Trump and make it look like, and they are, that they're bullying him. Between them and the media and big tech and Hollywood. And it's like they couldn't be any worse at trying to deliver their fake message. You know what I mean? They should just be upfront about it, because to be honest, at least they'd have authenticity. They should say that we believe the government should have, you know, more control of people's lives, that more money should be funneled through the government so that we can properly disperse it in a way that we see fit. You know, they should say those kinds of things. Some people might be on board with it, but they don't. They come at it in like a cockeyed, sneaky, kind of inauthentic way. And so obviously it doesn't ever translate. You know, there's a reason why they cannot argue on policy. They cannot even bring up Trump's policy. he's right that it's Corona, Corona, Corona. That's it. It's Corona, Corona, Corona. It's tax the rich. And it's stuff he never said. Buying people or suckers and losers. And then they always, and the pre-existing condition, they always go, he doesn't have a health plan. He doesn't have a health plan. He doesn't, you know why he doesn't have a health plan? Because the people on the right don't want a government health plan for all ages, for regular citizens. They don't want that. They want to make better health better health insurance and health services available through free market capitalism, through competition, and through stuff that actually works. They're trying to unrestrict it. They've been trying to open up state lines and do all kinds of stuff for the longest. Proven methods. Not bloated federal government-run bureaucratic bullshit. Everyone knows Obamacare wasn't working, right? So no, they don't have an alternative to it. They don't have Biden care. Joe Biden talks about Biden care. That sounds horrible. Who wants Biden care? Their plan is let's open it up. Let's get people to pay cheaper premiums than what they're paying. And they also never said that they're not going to cover pre-existing conditions. Again, like all the Dems have is stuff that's not true. That's it. They create these, if people don't know, I keep saying straw man. A straw man is when you create something that doesn't exist, an issue or what have you, and then you act like you're solving that issue. But they make up stuff that he said he's going to do or he's do, and then they pretend like they're addressing it. I got into this debate with an old friend on Instagram the other day, and I was saying that they don't have a platform, the Dems, other than Corona. And he said, well, isn't that like Hillary's emails in 2016? And of course, in every campaign, you're going to have those types of things, right? But they can't be just that, right? I said to him, and it's true. If you look at the Trump campaign of 2016, whether you agreed with him or not, it was like the most clear and concise. Everyone knew his bullet points. He's a master marketer. Everyone knew what he wanted to do with trade, with immigration, with taxes, with deregulation. Everyone knew exactly what Trump wanted to. And the Hillary email thing, sure, that was all over social media and everything else. But people weren't voting for Trump because of Hillary's emails. They were given something to vote for. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm wins every election. And now the new one is, voter suppression. I'm telling you, they're already, you could see the smart Dems, the smart ones that know they're about to lose. They're already planting the seeds for voter suppression. That's going to be the new Russian collusion. I promise you, promise you, promise you, promise you, get ready for 2 years of Adam Schiff and his silly little committees saying how Trump voter suppressed people and that's why they got blown the fuck out. Like I said, they can't, people that understand what presidents are supposed to do, they can't touch them on policy. They just had debates where they literally did not ask about foreign policy. That's how good the man just, they didn't want to, shine a spotlight or what? He's got like three or four historic peace deals going in the Middle East. Now maybe another with like Israel and Iran. They don't even talk about this stuff. They'd already handed Obama peace, Nobel Peace Prizes and everything else. What he's done with these peace deals already trumps, no pun intended, everything Obama and Biden did. Foreign policy wise, and they don't even ask him about it. And when's the last time you heard about ISIS or North Korea? It's like And he moved the, they call him an anti-Semite, it's Larry. He moved the capital, Israel, to Jerusalem. I'm sorry, he moved, well, first he recognized the capital, number one, but he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. And every president said they were going to do that. None of them ever did it because they didn't have the balls to do it. And did war break out? No. People went, okay. And he's still getting peace deals over there. They were like, oh, if he does that, it's a thumb in the eye. We'll never get peace deals after that. And then he still got the peace deals. Stop it. They don't even bring up foreign policy at the debates. That's how well he's done and how little they can argue. And please, God, don't let us hear about the popular vote for another. First of all, there is no popular vote. There is not such a thing. There's just not. That's not how elections work. People know, adults know, they're voting for an electorate. It's not a direct democracy. It's a democratic republic. So there is no popular vote. If you want to tally it that way, essentially what you're doing, it's like, let's say there was a football game and the team won, you know, 28-24, right? So they win by 4 points. But you went, no, you know what? That other team threw for more first downs. What? No, that other team, they complete. Oh, and also they kicked more field goals. So I'm going to say they won. Was the rule to throw more first downs and kick more field goals? Or were we trying to get a higher score? Give me the rules before the game. And that's what we're playing. That's what they're doing with this popular vote bullshit. But just to humor y'all with this, but let me just break down, since they always want to play this popular vote bullshit. And even people on the side against, even recognizing, you know, people on my side, even people on my side, the argument go, of course, there shouldn't be a few states to decide the election. That's true. But it's more than that. There shouldn't be one state to decide our re-election. One state. 2016, Hillary Clinton won what they call the popular vote by 3 million. She had 3 million, almost 3 million. Almost 3 million more votes. It was like 2.9 than Trump, for if you added up all the states. In California alone, she had over 4 million more votes than Trump. So California alone, just one state, makes up for the entire 3 million gap, plus another million, just for good measure. So are people saying that California should just decide every election? That's pretty stupid. Pretty dumb fucking argument. And then also, more importantly, again, if the rules, look how hard Trump's competing. He knows where he's competing. He knows where he needs to win. It's not a coincidence. He didn't just blindly win this last time. He's using the same strategy. He's using it tenfold. And if you gave him the rules and said, hey, Don, you got to win a popular vote this year, he'll win that too. I guarantee you. A, he'd campaign in a lot of these places. And B, people will come out to vote. If you live in California and you don't, and you're a Republican or a conservative or a libertarian or whatever, you don't vote in the general because you know your vote doesn't matter. But it would, if you knew it mattered, then you would. And Trump would be at those places. And those same California wouldn't be 3 million difference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of states would look different. And a lot of the, but it would be a different rules and whatever. This is the silliest argument I ever heard. So enough about it. It's like they can't win within the guidelines. So it's like, they want the popular vote. They want to get rid of the Electoral College, do the popular vote. They want to make Washington and Puerto Rico states so they can add more senators. They want to expand the Supreme Court. It's like, bro, just win a fucking election. You know, just get a better candidate. that if I was a Democrat and I wanted, I would be so pissed that they gave me Joe. That Trump broke this mold wide open and was like, you can be anybody and come in here and be president if you have the right tools. They had 4 years to come up with anyone, almost 4 years, to come up with, you know, some dynamo, anyone. And they come in with old Joe. Wasn't he already like disqualified from running for president a couple times? Didn't he like, you call it like plagiarizing and stuff? What are they doing? And that was like the best version of himself back in the day. Couldn't get it done. And now they want him now at his age with, he's got that vacant face. Dude, it doesn't matter almost like what he says. Do people not see him? Have people not had an elderly, confused person in their life before? Do they not understand what that face looks like? I don't want to mimic him. Y'all know the face. I don't need to mimic. The man's confused. So, and then the worst part is you go, all right, like everyone knows Joe's not long for this game. So you go, at least, you know, let's give him a VP. VP that people go, all right, you know, you got a VP in there. Maybe Joe's not around to do the job in a few years. And by the way, no one thinks you're getting a second. That's the other thing. Good luck, A, getting rid of an incumbent that had an amazing economy before the virus hit, just had, after it crashed, just had the biggest growth in history in a month. 33% growth. Good luck getting rid of an incumbent with a good economy. Number one, it never happens. And then good luck doing it with a guy who there's no way is a two-term president. People don't vote for a one-term president. And at least give him a VP. Kamala was blown out of the primaries for a reason. Like, have y'all seen her? That's tough stuff, man. People are looking at that. Look, people look at that and go, can I see her as the president of the United States? Kamala Harris is commander in chief, showing up cackling at these events for like 10 minutes. What is she even talking about? They show up and do 10, 12 minutes on how Trump is mishandling the virus, and then they hop on their shit and they go home. That, what are they offering people? It's so bleak and negative and angry too. It's also dark. Biden was talking about that. Keeps repeating. I thought that was a mistake. I thought that was a gaffe at the debate when he's like, you know, we're not learning to live with it. We're learning to die with it, you know? He keeps repeating that in all his speeches. It's like, and he's so angry. What's he yelling for? Why is he screaming at everybody? Y'all remember, like, just even this campaign alone, he poked that dude in the chest. He was like, he poked that one voter in the chest. He grabbed that other reporter by the shoulder. He's like, what are you, nervous? I mean, you can punch someone in the face, they grab you by the shoulder. He called that guy fat. He was like, you know, let's do push-ups, fat boy, or something. Come on. These are the nice... Like I say, they call Trump unhinged and angry, man. These people are angry, disgruntled, mean, bullies, censoring everybody. You can't say this. You can't say that. You better repeat these exact words I tell you to. You're not allowed to post this. You're not allowed to be friends with that person. It's like, people just want to have a nice, easy life, right? You know, nobody wants to be controlled by other people, by their government. Weird stuff. They're out there. It's like they want to be in everyone's business. They want the government in all of our business. Shit is weird. I gotta talk about Corona for a minute. Look, I tend to leave this Corona argument to other people, to the experts. I'm not a medical expert. I'm a common sense guy. And I've been asking this question for months. No one can give me an answer, which is this. Explain to me how New York doesn't have herd immunity already for a long time now. Explain to me how all these states spike and then they're good. And then other states spike and then they're good. And then other states spike and then they're good. And now all these rural states are spiking because they're last. But you have states now where they're going, oh, we're heading into the apocalypse because these states have a 30 or 40% infection rate. Positivity test result rate, 30, 40% or whatever. Well, New York had that too. We just weren't testing as much at that time. But now New York has a 1%. So how does the most densely packed city in the country now have a 1% infection rate? Answer me that. Like, is that a real question? How does New York City not, how are they not ravaged by this thing anymore? Because they all just got so good at it. And then people in these rural areas that are now getting infected and they're all spread out. It's not because it's hitting their state later and they have to now wait to get their herd immunity. You're telling me it's because those rural people are being less responsible than all the people in New York and all the homeless people and people in the subways and everything else. That makes sense. New York, because so many people died in New York, because so many people got infected and they lost tens of thousands of people, they achieved herd immunity quickly, meaning their infection rate was and is high enough that now people are not getting infected in New York. And the reason why they hit the blue states first, a lot of those blue states are more densely packed. Now those states are doing okay. And the more spread out states, now they're getting hit. You know, I read recently something, I don't want to mess this stat up, but I'm gonna. Something like 80% of, and look, this goes without saying, any life is valuable, whether you've got 2 days left to live or 50 years left to live. Those 2 days, you know, could be anything. Not what I'm saying. But something like 80% of people that have died with coronavirus had like less than a year life expectancy. Something like that. So like I'm not discounting the virus, but we need to have perspective on what it's doing and who it's doing it to, and to what extent we're willing to hurt other people. And I've already gotten into it, and it's actually getting a lot of coverage because Trump talks about it too. But obviously all the other stuff that goes along with England just locked their whole country down now. They just announced this yesterday. They just locked the whole country down till December. So in all of England now, what does that do to people? You know, this narrative, this knee-jerk narrative that you get from a certain type of person that can only see a simple arithmetic of black and white and virus bad, you know, scary virus. And they don't have the ability to do any type of deductive reasoning about all the other factors that go into it. So I would just urge people to have a little perspective on that type of stuff. But, you know, as far as Corona goes, I take a big issue with the governor of New York and all these people acting like, you know, we're doing the right thing and you guys aren't. It's all, if you cannot tell me, look, the virus is a real virus, but you can't tell me it's not been politicized. Because it's all politics. The virus has literally become a campaign platform for the Democrat Party. It's become 90% of their platform is coronavirus. You know, let's say it takes another year to get a vaccine. You know, Trump's saying it's going to be a few weeks and we've got, you know, millions of doses ready to go. But, you know, Dems are saying, well, it's going to be spring or summer. Let's say it takes a year. You know, it won't. But let's say by this time next year, we've actually achieved herd immunity through actual vaccine and a number of infections, and we've got probably way better therapeutics at that point as well. Then what are we left with? You still have to stand for something. You know, these people, I gotta, before I wrap this up, this has been a long episode, I'm gonna wrap this up in a second. Really gotta give credit to people like, you know, look at a guy like a Ted Cruz or something, you know. It's a funny thing. People go, Ted, he said your dad was part of the JFK assassination, or Teddy, he made fun of your wife or whatever. Ted's like, and? You want me to just flip on everything I've spent my whole life standing for and fighting for because this guy insulted me? Who is he, Mitt Romney? The people that, there's nothing worse, man. I can't think of this guy's name. There's a really bad one, but they're all over the place. You know, you look at like MSNBC or CNN or whatever, and there's always the one guy on the panel who's like the Republican TDS victim, the Republican Trump hater that like they bring over as, you know, the token conservative who just sees that Trump's just not fit for the job, you know. They're that principled guy. They're the Mitt Romney. You know, there's nothing worse, man. That they're the opposite of principled, those people. They are. What they're doing is they're putting their personal feelings ahead of their principles. Right? I mean, if you have a guy who's a real conservative, and he's 50 years old, and he's been in politics, and he's done all these things, and now he's on MSNBC saying to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That's not principled. That's butthurt personal, you know, sour grapes or something. So I don't want to hear that argument. That's silly. But look, like I said, I'm gonna wrap this up. This thing, I am gonna get a lot of enjoyment out of this one. A lot of enjoyment out of selection. This is gonna shock some people, man. The country, you know what else, you know what other number went up when these record number of voter registrations were going up? Gun ownership registration, first time gun purchases and stuff were going up. Who are those people voting for? And why was that number climbing? There's never been a bigger backfire in history than the social unrest narrative that they pushed. They don't push it anymore. You notice? You know, they could choose to push that whenever they want, but by the way, I don't think there's unrest like that. But they made people think there was, and they certainly got enough people pumped up and fired up. People don't like seeing that, and they're just very going to quietly get out to the poll. And a lot of them aren't so quiet either. But anyway, go vote, everybody. For real. And this goes without saying, but vote down ballot. Don't just like leave all those people blank. Listen, I've said it before. I'm not a Republican. But at this point in time, you've got to vote that Republican ticket up, down, sideways. You see an R on that thing and you vote for it, because with too many, not all, too many of the D's right now are trying to transform this place into something different. And if you think Trump's a little too crass, a little too crude, or says uncomfortable things, he's really not. By the way, he's a little crude sometimes. Watch his rally. Watch his rally and watch Biden's rally. Is there anyone that thinks that's what I'll leave y'all with, man. This perception versus reality stuff. Anyone that thinks that Trump is an angry, volatile personality, he's doing 5 rallies a day. Turn on any, you pull it up on YouTube, Trump rally, you'll find 10 recent ones. Watch a couple. He's funny. He's calm. He's funny. Then after you watch those, pull up a couple Joe Biden rallies. Tell me who the angry, disgruntled person is. And he's calling people ugly and stuff. He just the other day, he was calling Trump voters ugly. Some guy was honking his horn. He called the guy ugly. And by the way, I don't care. That's not even my point in bringing that. I don't care. But if you're going to stand on this high horse of Trump's unfit because of the way he acts and the stuff he says or whatever, if you're going to call him angry all the time, that's a silly argument. It's almost as silly as him being a white supremacist or him colluding with Russia or him suppressing the vote. So get out there, man. No one's suppressing anybody. I don't care where you live. You can vote. Vote down ballot, vote up ballot, vote your conscience, as they say. I appreciate y'all. I'm going to be doing a food review in the next day or something too. And then I'm going to come back right after the election. I want to gloat and talk about the results. We might not have them right away, but I'm going to come back probably like Wednesday or so with the regular episode to go over some of those debate results. I really appreciate y'all. Been a long time, back at it, and I will see you in a couple days. I hope everybody's having an amazing weekend, and enjoy the election on Tuesday. I will see you guys soon. Peace.